search of Jesus. Then in verse 25, when they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, Rabbi, when did you get here? Jesus answered, I tell you the truth. You are looking for me not because you saw miraculous signs, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. On him, God the Father has placed his seal of approval. Then they asked him, what must we do to do the works God requires? Jesus answered, the work of God is this, to believe the one he has sent. So they asked him, what miraculous sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our forefathers ate the manna in the desert, as is written. He gave them bread in heaven to eat. Jesus said to them, I tell you the truth, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Sir, they said, from now on give us this bread. Then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. And this is the word of our Lord. The disciples had gone ahead, and Jesus, of course, walked across the water. And the people had had this experience of Jesus feeding thousands of people to their fill with bread and with fish. This in a world where many people seldom got their fill at mealtime. And Jesus fed them and fed them abundantly. And they all realized that feeding these people out in the wilderness like this was indeed a miracle. And you would think that that would give them all they needed to believe. The sign, as John calls the miracles, the sign, the proof that Jesus is God. That Jesus is the Messiah that they sought. That Jesus is the one that they waited for. And so they sought after him again, going back to the other side of the lake to get to Jesus. And when they found him, did they come to praise him? Did they come to worship him? No, they wanted another miracle. More food, more miracles, more signs. It's easy to be harsh on these people, but even the rabbis and the leaders of the synagogue, after seeing Jesus heal thousands of people, after seeing Jesus do miraculous things, don't you remember they came to him and said, give us a sign so that we can believe who you are, who you say you are. Jesus was not going to once again give them the bread and the fish as a sign, but he said, I am the bread of life. I am what God has sent from heaven. Yes, God sent you the manna from heaven when the people came out of Israel. But now God sends you the bread of life. Jesus, use the term bread of life. To you and I, bread might well seem a humble thing. I mean, it's not a cheeseburger. It's not a steak. It's not pizza. It's not spaghetti. It's not cheesecake. It's bread. In that day, bread sustained the people. Bread was what they lived on. Yes, they could acquire meat and vegetables at times, but they could eat bread in the dead of winter. They could eat bread with milk. They could eat bread with water. They could stay alive with the nourishment that came from these rich, earthy, rough breads that they could make. None of the Wonder Bread stuff, but the flat loaves of bread that were about this big around and about this high, some being hard, some being kind of light and puffy. There were many varieties, different grains that they could use, but that is what they lived on, the bread. And so Jesus used those words so that they knew that what, so they could know that Jesus brought them life. But bread is even a greater analogy of who Jesus is and what he brings to you and to me. Because bread doesn't just appear from heaven, since the people came out of the wilderness. But bread must be sown into the earth as a tiny seed. And in order for the seed to be sown, the chaff must be removed from the wheat stalk. They must be separated, the seed from the chaff. And the seed must dry out and appear to die before it can be planted. You can't plant a green seed into the earth. It will rot and disappear. But the dried seed has been planted into earth and receives water and nourishment from the earth. And it grows. And it becomes... And when it grows into the chaff of wheat and is separated, it is broken. It is bruised to get the chaff off of the wheat. They take it and they grind the bread, they grind the grain to make the flour and make the bread. And Jesus came from heaven as a child, as a baby, who's born among his people. And he grows. And in order to save his people, he is bruised. He suffers greatly. And then he dies. So that we can have life. This is the bread of life that our Father delivers us. This is the one who comes to us as the bread from which we will never hunger. Jesus came to his people, giving them signs, giving them miracles, healing them, performing miracles and feeding them. He healed them when there was no hope. He fed them when there was no food. And then they asked for signs. And Jesus gave his body, gave his life, and said, "This is the bread from which you will never hunger. This is what the Lord has sent you. But there's something else that Jesus taught you and I about bread that we need to keep in mind. How are we taught to pray? Give us this day our daily bread. And are you thinking that we're only asking God for food so that we don't starve when we pray that prayer? Give us this day our daily bread. What we should be seeking is the bread of life on a daily basis. Every single day we need to spend time in the Word of God. We need to spend time in prayer with God. We need to spend time with this bread of life on a daily bread basis. You can't just eat on Sundays. You can't just eat once a week. You have to have it every day. Every day we need to spend time with the bread of life. We need to spend time with the one who has given his very life for us, who's taken on our sin and taken on our guilt and given us the hope that is only possible through him. So give us this day our daily bread. Jesus came to them offering himself as the bread of life, but not as one feast, as he gave the 5,000, but as a daily bread, as a sustaining bread, as a bread you will never hunger from. We can have a mountaintop experience with the Holy Spirit and then go about hungering to receive it again. Or we can take our daily bread, reading his word, taking the nourishment that is required for eternal life every day, sharing that word with one another. Jesus called them to accept him as their nourishment, to accept him as fulfillment of their needs. But they wanted bread and drink and meat. And he offered them life and life eternal. James Montgomery Boyce wrote, after he talked about how grain comes forth and produces more grain, and the Word of God comes forth and produces more Word of God, and the Spirit produces more Spirit, and the bread of life will produce more bread of life. He said, would you like to see such growth in your church, in you personally? If so, you must feed on Jesus. This means, in the first place, you must not look to other people as the source of your nourishment. This is what people who had been talking to Jesus were doing. They were looking to the current teachers of their rabbis and to Moses. They were saying, we're people of tradition. We look to what has been passed on to us by Moses through history. Boyce says, do not look to the past. Do not look to men as the source of your teaching. He said, I know that others can be the channels of good teaching. I am trying to be that myself for many people. But it would be terrible if a person should go away from hearing sound teaching and say, but Dr. So-and-so says, when you go out, you should go out declaring, the Lord Jesus Christ has spoken thus. There is no power in the name of a human teacher, but there is power in the blessed name of Jesus, that name that is above all earthly names. Before him, every head shall bow and all knees bend. Today, as we receive Holy Communion, Jesus, we will remember that Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. He wasn't talking about us eating the bread and drinking the wine and remembering him who fed the 5,000 as the one who fed the 5,000. But he's calling us to remember that he is the one who feeds you and I spiritually. He is the one who can deliver the bread that matters. He is the one who can deliver the bread of life. He is the one who can offer eternal life and offer it abundantly. As we take of the communion today, we want to remember that Jesus wants us to have daily bread, wants us to feast daily on his word, feast daily on the love that he has for you and for me. Jesus is calling us to remember him not in the works that he has done in the world, but in the works that he can do in you, personally, in you, through you, and for you, and for the ones you love. Jesus is calling us to remember that he is the bread of life. He is the source of nourishment, and that we must daily feast upon that. Not once a month as we take the Holy Communion and on special occasions, and not once a week as we come to hear his word, but every day in your life, devoting time and energy to receiving Christ into your life. Because it's only through this receiving Christ into your life and living your life through Jesus Christ that he can make a difference in you. That he will make a difference in those around you and through you. So as we take of this communion meal today, let us always remember that Christ has given us our daily bread, and we are to receive his bread daily. And we're to have joy in the bread of life. Amen.